Faith is easily exchanged for knowledge, as it is the real world. For faith arises from the Holy Spirit's perception, and it is a sign you share with Him. Faith is a gift you offer to the Son of God, through Him, and wholly acceptable to His Father as to Him, and therefore offered you. Your holy relationship with this new purpose offers you faith to give unto your brother. Your faithlessness has driven you and him apart, so you do not recognize salvation in him. Yet faith unites you in holiness to see, not through the body's eyes, but the sight of him who joined you, and in whom you are united.
Grace is not given to a body, but to a mind. And the mind that receives it looks instantly beyond the body and sees the holy place where it was healed. There is the altar where the grace was given and in which it stands. Do you then offer grace and blessing to your brother, for you stand at the same altar where grace was laid for both of you. And be you healed by grace together, that you may be healed through faith.
And that brings us up to tonight's paragraph. Thank you. Pam just read it. Welcome to Course in Miracles. Are you Brian?
I am.
Welcome, Brian.
Thank you. Andrew.
Yes. Whew. Brian, everybody. Everybody, Brian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so perfect timing. Thanks, Pam. That is our focus tonight. Pam just read one of the few places where Course in Miracles talks about grace. Grace. Is there room in your mind for grace? You know, before Course in Miracles, I had a lot of things to argue about. I had a lot of, even with God, whatever God was, or with luck, whatever that was, seemed to come and go. Grace somehow kind of pushes through all of that. So, this turns out that this is a possible, not necessary, but this idea of grace is a possible way to adopt some of the love that would otherwise be excluded by your ego, by time and space. Ego's job is, don't let the love leak in. See, the problem with love is, it tends to make you, patient. It tends to make you trusting. The problem with love is that it allows you to be ultimately honest. Why? Because you're not defending. See, love just destroys the ego. It makes you tolerant of things. Love makes you gentle. Whereas the ego says, no, you gotta attack. Don't you know what they did to you?
It presupposes forgiveness.
Yeah. Love presupposes forgiveness. So, grace is a possible way for you to allow miracle-mindedness. Miracle-mindedness. Of course, the miracle starts out way up in the beginning. And it talks about the miracle impulse. You know, the miracle is just a chosen word, right? He had to pick something. Something out of the English language, anyway. It's redefined. The whole darn thing is redefined in this book. But after a while, once you start to get a sense what miracle is in this book, that shift in perception from the burden to the easy, from darkness to light. The miracle is always a shift from heavy to light, from physical to spiritual, from death inevitable to rebirth and life present. All of these and 100 more things is a miracle. A shift in perception in the most important of ways. But You don't need a miracle unless you're troubled. Troubled means, you know, it hurts. You got a problem to solve. Miracles are not holy. They deal with illusion. They deal with the kind of illusion that ruins your day. Are you using the headphone? Oh, no.
No.
You're just trying to make your earlobes better. All right. So here we are, you know, in your average day, and you would sure like to be happier. How do you get from the angst or the contraction or the worry back to the freedom, to the ease, to the patience, tolerance, kindness? Grace might be one way. This word invites a certain thought that we're going to play with tonight. So just for the next couple of minutes, what is grace? And it might be most helpful to start out with, what's the opposite of grace? What is ungraceful? Grace lacking. Or grace badly needed. What's that? What does it feel like when you're witnessing grace? Even gracefulness? What does that feel like? What does it take? What does it take for grace to be present? For grace to be active? What's it take? What has to be there? And finally, if you wish, please pick a word. Just one word or a phrase. I'm not going to hold you to it next week. Just pick whatever comes to you tonight. For something that you think is definitely playing. Something's definitely powering. Something definitely enabling grace when it occurs. Or gracefulness, if you like. What? Just pick something that you might share with the group. What's required for grace to be unfolding the way it does? What is the wisdom of grace? What powers it? What has to be there for grace to be working and happening?
Well, words are a very difficult word for me to define sometimes because all the religious... Well, not only I see grace, it's blank.
I understand.
But the only way I use it is you're graceful. Like, I can just see this graceful flowing of expressing love. So it's this really cool way of it happening. It's just kind of like I'm flowing.
Good.
Doing it. Because if you're doing something graceful, it's like the best way you could do it.
What has to be there? The best way. The best way has to be there.
The best way to do
it. Isn't
something.
That good, huh? Yeah. Really graceful? The best way.
So you just, and it's more of a feeling, I think, than, to me it's more of a feeling that when I feel it, a feeling you can't quite put in words.
Not so technical, not so precise, huh?
Exactly. Because the nice one, when I look at that one, I even had to look it up several times in the dictionary, and matter of fact, I could tell you started making it, like, you know,
isn't really that interesting? Defying the quick technical definition.
That don't work, it just, it's...
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Defying the quick technical analytical definition. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it a very interesting word. Jeff?
All of my ideas are just coming up as dead ends. I want to attach
like a consciousness to grace. Mm-hmm. I want to attach an intention to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I really believe that it's more of like you're in alignment with the higher energy, and it just kind of happens when you're in alignment. You're not really trying.
Mm. This is nice. Not really trying. I love it. Grace is not a huge effort. Struggle. It's not a struggle. I wouldn't be grace.
I think so.
Good.
It's more
love
like
it.
Being in alignment with your higher purposes or some higher energy or
something. With a bigger picture than maybe exactly what's happening. That there's a bigger...
You're out of your head, you know? Uh-huh. You're out of your head. You're not working so hard. You're just kind of more in touch with like radical acceptance and radical gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What's grace? What does grace mean, Pam?
Challenge was on my opposites list, as was obtuse and rude and kind of impolite.
Oh, good.
And just grace is like, it's like fortitude. It's like there's a knowingness. It's not a forced thing. It's like there's an integrity.
Integrity.
And like a yeah. Just a knowingness.
A knowingness.
Yeah.
Fortitude from knowing. Yeah.
So there's a light, it's just a light touch, like it doesn't, it's nothing obtuse, it's nothing forceful.
Oh yeah. But did you notice when you get to know how to do something, and you actually know it the best way, that included in it is a knowing exactly what you're doing. The first few times might have been difficult, even clumsy. But as you get more familiar with what you're doing or who you're talking to.
I disagree. I think part of grace is being unselfconsciously iteration of balance.
Yes. You mean like a habit?
No, unselfconscious. A habit is still conscious. Grace, there's no need to think about it.
Automatic.
It's an automatic, beautiful.
You're so familiar with it that it flows. His first word.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I put on my seatbelt, you should see how graceful it is. I can be actually, you know, eating a burrito, and I can wrangle my hand around the belt and slip it around, click. It's kind of graceful.
Yeah.
It's like learning a dance.
It's,
once you know it, you know it.
Once you know it, even...
But until then, they're a song, or playing a song. It's like until, then at one point,
clumsy.
It shifts from, like, thinking about it to just, like, doing it.
Yes. And... when you really know how to dance a certain step or play a certain song or sing a certain song and something kind of bumps you, can't you recover so smoothly?
Right.
Because you know, not the exact detail, you let those go. The problem was you were trying to be too precise when you were learning how to play that song. You're trying to be too precise. You need to let it flow a little bit. To find out what the music really does to you and for you and how it should sound in a bigger picture. Just a little bigger picture than the precise, exact definition of whatever it is you're trying to do. Isn't that interesting?
Don't overthink it.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? David.
All good ideas. I like acceptance. Flow. So like when a skier or a surfer or a rock climber or whatever starts linking moves, linking turns. So even in an uncontrolled situation, like a breaking wave with a crowd, those people aren't in your way. They're just part of the situation. So blending with the force.
I like this.
Blending with the force.
Yeah.
Being in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Which was mentioned. to the lack of judgment, you know, like playing the song, as soon as you critique the last note, it's like, what, you know, then it's trying to find the downbeat again, or the upbeat.
Doesn't grace have to be in the moment?
It's very different.
You're saying so many things all at once. I mean, we gotta pick some of these up here.
Well, I mean,
being in the moment is huge, right? Present.
I think it's necessary,
especially if you can adapt to something like the crowd happening.
You can't be graceful before.
Right. Okay. Good.
Or after. Yeah.
Good.
But you can kind of, when you're in the zone, you can kind of look there.
Yeah.
And you end up there, but you're already looking beyond that.
Because you know the context in which you are skiing.
You're listening to...
I love that linking the moves.
The changing.
It's not an abrupt change. There's actually a flow from one turn. He's already leaning for the next turn. Even though he's going right, starting to lean left. What? Because he's going to go left next. But this beautiful S is happening. I love that.
Right, so like on a bicycle, you know, if you have to swerve to avoid a pothole that just turns into a turn.
Nice. And because the bicycle is absolutely moving, or the skier is absolutely moving, there will be grace or there will be tragedy. Right, chaos? You can't just turn 90 degrees on a set of skis or on a bicycle 20 miles per hour. Not 90. No way! It's going to have to be this.
But if you take a fall and you get up and you keep going, isn't that grace under fire?
I guess so. Especially if you've got all the components that you talked about.
That's a good save.
Yeah. I mean, I've fallen before where I knew I was going down, and so I just went ahead and jumped into it. And I rolled. And I pulled my elbow in and rolled around. I've done this.
Wayne Gretzky. Just have to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wayne Gretzky. There's grace.
I mean, there's grace.
Julie.
I don't know. My mind was in a different place. I've always thought of grace as like it's just this gift kind of from beyond. Mm. And so I thought I was feeling the question of what does it take, and it's always felt effortless for me when it comes. But what I realized is that the moments where I've most noticed it, there was a pause or silence. There was just a moment, but I didn't decide to quiet. I just quieted, and then the grace sort of came. So I've realized that there has to be this pause. But there's times where I try to pause. That's different.
Yeah.
Trying to pause.
Yeah.
No. Just that I did.
Yes.
And then
yes. And that at you had what you needed when you needed it. That pause was natural and beneficial. Yeah. That is a component of grace. Not hurried, not tried.
Yeah, because I think it's moments that... It's a moment that just... The opposite to me of grace was total unawareness. Just total... Mm. And usually, a lot of times, it's in those moments that awareness comes back through grace to me. But when I'm not... When I don't try, just it's there.
Yeah. Beautiful, necessary component. It's not trying.
Mm.
Masako.
I love that piece about, and it seems to come with quietness.
Mm.
I love that. So for me, I'm most conscious or aware of grace when there is something, it's very beautiful, okay, something very aesthetic. It could be anywhere from seeing a ladybug fly on a flower or a leaf, or it could be prima ballerina, right? But it's a way that it's an experience, like David said, so it's very difficult to articulate. But the feeling that there is an experience of something so eternal. Mm-hmm. And you're not thinking, wow, this is pretty eternal.
Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. There is a sense of a unity with everything. And mm-hmm. like I said, it's very difficult to put words into it because it's a feeling.
Yes.
And
it's one of those things, you know it when you see it.
Feel it.
No.
You know it when you feel it. You know it when it's happening, but you couldn't necessarily describe how grace is going to unfold?
Well, I'll tell you what happens. I think grace happens when you are fully present to this moment, mm-hmm. and you're fully alive mm-hmm. in that experience. And I
yeah, we
think
had alignment
why,
here earlier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's why the intellect mm-hmm. is totally gone. It's not
Ooh,
there.
Ooh, good because, one. Good yeah. one.
It's
isn't that a funny thing?
One of my favorite words is a state of grace. It's only in there, that experience, and it's always an afterthought. I thought, oh, I must have been with God.
Yeah.
That's all I can explain it.
And doesn't the intellect kind of muck things up
when
you're trying to allow grace? Yeah, like in David's skier. Or in the music playing, you're overanalyzing that last note or the next one. Intellect kind of jam it up. Isn't that interesting? You mean to say that grace is a place where essentially you, that you know the best, is not there? So present, there's no room for you.
Good, no room for you.
Yeah. Like the little garden that we read two sections ago. A couple sections ago, anyway. A place in your mind where actually you are not. The you that you know is not present. That's a very free place where you can hear the Holy Spirit.
So if you can't try and you can't be intellectual.
Yes, yes, good.
How do you turn it on? How do you embrace it?
Yeah, that's a perfect question. Yeah, where's my grace button? Good. Good burning question.
There you go, being
Carol.
I like the grace buttons. Well, I was thinking in a similar way, that it's an experience of sacredness, actually, and a feeling.
Yeah. What's a power? What powers sacredness? Anybody? Carol? What powers sacredness? Our meditation is on what powers grace. Mm. What is grace? And you know, you're supposed mm-hmm. to experience that a bit. And if you guys want to work it, what has to be there for grace mm-hmm. to be present, for grace to be working, or gracefulness to be working? What has to be there?
Presence.
Carol? What powers sacred?
What powers it?
Yeah, I mean, what has to be there if it's, you call it sacred?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we know what things are not sacred look like. Feel like. Ooh, that is definitely from the devil. Or that's definitely all worldly. Oh, God, that's so ego-based. Isn't that just so grubbing?
Well, the opposite of worldly, that's for sure.
Wow. Yes, yeah. What powers the grace that you're talking about? What has to be there?
Love. It's a state of love. A state of grace.
Mm-hmm. State.
Another way to say wholeness.
Nice. Yeah. Because, you know, we've been dancing around that idea that your analytical mind is not there, that it has something to do with the best possible way, that there's a knowingness involved. Pam?
It's like you have to take the back seat. There has to be not an invitation, that's the wrong word, but that sort of thing, like surrender. And as you were
surrender.
Talking...
Surrender! Man, you cannot ski like David says, or play the guitar like you say, until you surrender and let what's going on go on. If you try to just look at each individual note, there will be no music. There'll be a dink, dink.
You know, there's something else in the family too. Is this freaking absolute freedom. It just freedom, I think, is like
freedom.
Yeah.
It's I also thought of how we say grace over a meal.
Mm-hmm.
For meals, never snacks, but just meals.
Yep. What is it?
And that, so you take a minute and like allow God to bless your food. I mean, so you're
getting
out of the way for a second and like shutting up and letting the blessing come.
Thankful.
Gratitude.
Yeah. Gratitude.
Yeah.
Thankfulness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Attitude of gratitude.
The attitude of gratitude requires a giving and a receiving simultaneously occurring. We talk about gratitude as the poor man's I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Not willing to commit quite to this love thing because it's pretty loaded. But I can say, hey, thanks. Thank you. I really want you to know I appreciate that. Thank you. That's my point. I love you. I love that situation. And I want to, I receive from you. I want to give to you that you know that I'm really grateful. Thank you. But you know, in order for me to do that, I've got to feel it well up, look at you in the eye, deliver. I don't know what you're going to think about it, but I know what I think. I think I felt really good about you and me and what we just did together. Thank you. So I love you. Poor man's I love you. Boom. Yeah, yeah. Now, if you were dancing, if you were skiing, if you're playing that riff, that music, and it's working out, is there not a giving and a receiving occurring simultaneous?
Mm-hmm.
That's what enables you to keep moving.
Balance.
The balance is you're in your zone. And the balance is there. And the anticipate. I love that linking of the moves. Love that insight.
Is it kind of like holy instants?
Yeah. What happens in a holy instant? What is required for a holy instant?
I heard someone talk about grace. I read, and he said that there's different levels of grace.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And he called one level super grace.
Yeah.
It's R.B. Time Jr. And I read the book, and it is, and because we're talking about grace, and I experience grace in different areas of my life, as I mature spiritually, I receive more grace and more holy instance.
Isn't that interesting? The more you learn how to surrender, who said surrender? Who said surrender? The more you learn about trusting surrender, turns out the more able you are to experience that to which you are surrendering. And you'll find it now happens more, it's more present, it's more accessible. Because the analysis and the hesitations and the details are forgiven, they're released.
It's more of an acquiescence.
Right. Which is part of trust.
Andrew, would you use the word wise as a synonym?
For a grace?
Thinking out loud.
Yeah, because what's in wisdom, but knowing good ways, experience, wisdom is empowered by some knowledge, and it's flexible. That's why knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is particular. Wisdom is, it's kind of flexible. The wise can go into a new situation first time and say, here's how we handle this. The knowledge says, I've never seen one like this. Not like the one I have at home. Sorry, I can't help you.
You can also be flooded with grace in moments when you're not anywhere near grace.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to refer to.
That's why it's called grace.
Yeah, that's why it's grace.
That's why it feels like
Well, that's why I'm giving you two flavors, right? In the meditation, I gave you grace, and I say gracefulness, okay? I said, gave you two flavors now.
Because we're always in the state of grace, we just don't believe it.
Aha.
Yeah.
Ooh. What's that? What's that state of grace? What's that all-pervasive, dare I say, all-encompassing, from page one, state of grace? What is required for that to be there? Good question.
We are God. We are God. We are an extension of God. We are love. Am I quoting the right part? Probably not.
Yeah. I know you're feeling it.
Yeah.
Nice.
But what gets
not special?
Me,
grace is not special?
No, grace is.
Why is grace not special, anybody? Why is grace not special?
It's what we are, yeah. It's normal. Mm-hmm.
Truth is true.
True. Because it's for everyone.
It's for everyone. It's true.
Special would be just for somebody and not others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, special is for somebody, not others. Special is like per specific application. Not wise. Wisdom is not special. Yes?
Sometimes for me, trying to measure my personal level of spiritual consciousness, it's very difficult to measure. And so one of the few ways that I do is, how much of that state of grace do I feel during the day? The other one is, I look into my life and say, wow, how much love am I experiencing? Mm-hmm. And the other one is, well, my judgments and my evaluations and my criticism, what's the level on that from scale to 1 to 10? Mm-hmm. All these are...
They're quick measures, aren't they? Of a state.
They're quick measures, but... they're measures of ego. It's even for me, even when I'm in these states of judgment, I know that I am still grace. I know that I am, it never leaves me. Only I decide if I'm going to see it or not. I know that. And what gets me to that place, lately what has gotten me to that place, is deeply practicing forgiveness.
Yes.
And forgiveness gets me to that place of surrender, where there is nothing standing in the way of anything that out there, no matter what. And then I'm in that place of joy and freedom, and everything takes on new meaning.
Yes.
And then I'm recognizing the state of grace that is always there.
Yes.
I just can see it now.
Nice. So grace is forgiving.
It's forgiving it. And it's...
Look at how she would access it. She'd access it by surrender, by forgiveness, very, very practical way, which is the antecedent to the holy instant. And if you're going to be this graceful skier, or this flowing player, probably making all sorts of would-be mistakes that aren't exactly printed on the piece of music for which you say you're playing, but man, does it sound good, keep it up. Because forgiveness is occurring. Releasing of the details and the wrongs and the rights, both are released. Forgiveness flows. So of Course in Miracles says... Miracle Principle 25, that the atonement is an interlocking chain of forgiveness. The miracle, actually, you know, it sounds... Yeah. I forget how that one starts. But the burden is that it delivers is that it's interlocking. You ever read it for us when you get there?
You had me lost. I thought you were trying to show us something.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, I was like,
I'm trying to
see it.
I thought you were demonstrating.
I mean, I know the thing by heart.
It shows how often he doesn't, he just knows.
Andrew,
yeah. Next time, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to see it. The bottom of the page.
Miracles are interlocking.
Not 24, not 25. Yeah, miracles are part of. They're part of an interlocking chain of forgiveness. That's why they heal. They're part of that. The shift in perception, the release, the reason why it's not crazy to forgive. Reason why it's not crazy to go ahead and release and to forgive and surrender is because what you're surrendering is now known not to be valuable to hold on to. We've learned here that when you forgive, you're not forgiving something that's true.
And the more you're able to experience that state of grace, the more apparent the things that are not valuable to you are easier to let go of.
Self-proving, right? Yes.
Doesn't it talk about forgiveness of the dream?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's part of that.
Yes.
So when that bike's going down, you forgive it and you jump.
Yeah, release! Time to release!
I could ride this down, or...
Yeah, you could follow the chaos.
Or you could try or
you release the idea of riding a bicycle for a moment. And go to running.
bouncing,
rolling. Yeah,
right.
Let's roll.
If the rolling's working, don't try to stand up.
You're right. Let the rolling slow down a bit. Yeah.
I think that we've discussed many ways how we experience grace. So it's like what Kim said, that in our inheritance, who we are, since we are all extension of divine, I think that may be the reason why we get glimpses, glimpse of in different, seeing beauty, for many things, like what was brought up here, because we are that.
Yeah, that's right. It's already there.
Right.
It's there. And I forget sometimes. Nobody can take that away from you. This is part of your awakening. You own it. Whether or not you behave that way, it comes and goes, but it cannot be taken from you. That solid awareness. That you're one thought away from even perhaps what might become laughter over the silly thing you were just yelling to yourself in the car about.
Okay. It was really hard for me to wait all the way around. I know. I got kind of anxious there. But I'm remembering my innocence. And that has the key for me, is innocence. It stayed with me all week from last week. I want you to know.
Awesome.
So, what is grace, and what has to be there? It's an experience of unquestionable faith, absolute acceptance, and the recognition of the divine in the present.
Nice.
Very succinctly, because I know words are symbols. Of symbols, and to describe grace from the beginning is
Okay. Didn't it seem impossible? But now look what we did. Yes.
So that's what I was looking, actually, kind of letting the words kind of evolve from the questions.
Yeah.
That's what I came up with.
Yeah. Read it for us again.
Okay. The experience of unquestionable faith.
Unquestionable faith, right? Right? Unquestionable faith.
Wow, that's like freedom of innocence.
Freedom. Yeah, freedom to go ahead because I'm committed. Faith is committed. But the beautiful reason why I like you brought up faith here, the reason why I like the word faith applied here, is because you don't actually know what's going to happen on that next turn, or the crowd's going to stay split or not, or if you're going to be playing, will you sustain the note long enough for it to bridge the part of the song that needs it, Or are you going to have to maybe even stroke it twice and just kind of add a little bit to keep the timing right? If you're really in your zone, you will do what's necessary. There's a faith that you can play through. That you can play through whatever happens. And that's what allows the music to flow. So I like this unquestionable faith.
It's the experience of unquestionable.
Yeah, because it dawns. It sort of dawns
it's
on
not, it's not. It's not a forethought.
Yes. Right?
It's like we've been, like everybody's been saying, it happens, it's a part of who
What does unquestionable faith feel like? What does that experience
There's
feel like?
No fear.
Fear.
No fear.
There's no fear.
There's no fear.
There's no fear of what's around that corner.
There's no fear. What has to be present is fearlessness,
right,
which is unquestionable faith. Isn't that interesting? But that doesn't. That empowers.
Mm-hmm.
That empowers grace.
There's like no. That's more than that. There's no. You're not even. You don't even know what fear is anymore.
Right.
You're just. It's you're so far beyond.
Yes.
There's not even thought.
Keyword.
Like absolute
keyword.
Acceptance. And that that's the next. It's a knowing that you're going. That you are. Everything you. It's a knowing that.
Everything
that you are everything and you have everything
have.
And you, there's nothing that you need and that you know.
This moment is full.
Yeah.
This moment, I'm not anticipating adding more, I'm just doing it right now.
Yeah.
And there's no such thing as failure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Don't know.
It's like
you're beyond
when
the
teacher
fear.
Says, who wants to be the first to try this? the grace and being willing to say, okay. Sounds cool.
Because that would be a judgment on ourselves, that a failure would be.
Yeah. Fear of loss. No room for that.
In
a grace
of innocence, what's more graceful than a child who, you know, never picked up this instrument, but dang, you mean I get to play this? Cool.
Yeah.
Let me have it.
Not anticipating blocks.
Right.
Anticipating flowing right through.
How am I going to learn this? It says in the reading,
yeah.
Back to the book,
yeah.
It looks instantly upon the body and sees the holy place where it was healed. That's the mind that receives grace.
Mm.
You're back. It's bypass.
Yes.
It's like, no.
Yes.
It's just, it's just being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It comes to the verb, just a bit, like,
yeah.
What is it? God is, and then you yep. cease to speak.
Yep.
That's
it's a verb.
It's just is.
Mm-hmm. Is that the holy instrument?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just my experience of it, because there is no more, like, there's...
Nothing.
The reason I can't put this into words is
yeah.
because there is... You're not even with these thoughts of what was or what will be, you just are, and it's almost like you forget...
It's not.
I can't put it into
yeah.
words.
Yeah.
It just is.
I think it's
Sorry.
More. I think it's different than a holy instant, because a holy instant is just a shift in perception right now.
Uh huh.
But a state of grace is yeah.
It's a state of being.
State of being.
Like yeah, being present. It's present.
Yeah.
Brother John?
Oh, what's your own book? I think grace is a manifestation of elegance in thought or action.
Manifestation. It really is a verb, right?
Wow. I mean, I know I sound like a dictionary, but you ask me what grace is, that's what I think grace is.
Thank
you very much.
I knew that.
Yeah, absolutely sounded like a dictionary.
I go over to this guy's house.
He had most time to think about his answer.
Yeah, he really did.
He really did.
And he had to say, well, I'm not saying that now.
You got to think all my other answers.
I can't say it's love anymore.
All the good ones
are
taken.
Yeah, I wonder if John's one of those people who actually reads the dictionary. I got a phrase, actually.
I do.
The only one I have to.
I do.
My partner.
I have a game called Dictionary.
Yeah.
Our family plays. It's really fun.
Oh.
You have to pick out words, and you pick out a word, and you give them three, and the person who
picks out the right definition gets a point. Nice. But you have to pick a word nobody knows.
Schism.
Sucks.
Okay, now.
So, before we move on, Andrew, I have a thought. I'm trying to work it out, and I just kind of talk it out for
Bring
just
it.
A second.
Sure.
So, it seems like the source of a lot, if not everything that we're talking about here, is we feel an angst, or we feel an unsettledness, or we feel a frustration, we feel a pain, we have a suffering, something, whatever label you want to put on it. And I guess I'm thinking like, so grace is one of the remedies, one of the solutions. I guess I'm just going from my own personal experience. It feels like to me, like when I break down my angst and my frustration and my suffering, I keep coming back to need to not being met. You know, for whatever reason, my life has evolved to a point where maybe it's perfect and beautiful, and with radical acceptance, I should just be able to say namaste and have a nice day, but I can't. So I break it down a little farther and I say, okay, there are some needs that are not being met here. You know, all the radical acceptance in the world is not going to satisfy those needs. We don't need to get into the details because there's probably different for everybody. But, you know, there's maybe five pillars. We need love. We need physical attention. We need great nutrition. We need challenge. We need to be able to find ways to express ourselves creatively. And we need to find, you know, we need to find our personal path to meaning. And when those needs aren't being satisfied, we feel this angst or this suffering. And so we're leaping forward to grace, amongst a lot of great other terms in here tonight. But I feel like there's a missing step there.
Yep, there is.
Need I go on?
No, you need to go on. Yeah. I mean, you're in a.
I mean, I can say bliss me out, and it might work for a minute.
Right.
But then I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and be like, oh,
that's right. You get surrounded by...
I still have some things that are missing.
Yeah.
I can't just accept them.
Yeah.
So then I fall back into that suffering cycle.
Yes.
And then I self-medicate or whatever else I do.
Yes.
You know.
Would you believe that the things that were missing in your life became the guides that drew you to... your next awakening.
You're suffering.
They were like suffering that was the teacher that nobody wants to meet. But nobody can teach like suffering. It's so personal. It goes right. You have to pay attention to that teacher. Because until you do, it will persist.
Oh, yeah. It's mine. That's the one that if I don't do, when I started doing that, things started working.
Yeah. See, that's part of your enlightenment, part of your awakening, is to start to accept, even eagerly. The master does it eagerly.
What does that look like?
Well, can I ask you, because there's a couple ways of looking
at that. Let me give him two words. You hold on to that sentence?
Yes.
It looks like carefree. Not care less. That's what it looks like. Still dealing with it, but doing it carefree. Not careless.
I like it.
That's a new set of chaos. Hold on. Yeah, go.
Well, I'm not sure I understood you right, because were you saying our teachers are the things that caused us suffering?
Sometimes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not sometimes.
The experience is suffering is our teacher.
Those are absolute teachers who,
right,
which have such a message for you, so much of a message for you, this book was written about him.
Yes.
Where do you find a miracle? Wendy, where's a miracle? Come on, I've heard this all the time,
next
right?
To one thought away. Next to every shining thought of
a miracle is right behind every thought of suffering and pain and difficulty and complaint. That's where you find miracles. And the reason why that is, anybody want to tell me? Why is it?
Because it's only a thought away.
The reason why miracles are found there, The miracle, reason why miracles are in the shadows is because
the shadows are their teachers.
The answer of the light. The God put the answer where the problem is.
Right. That's it.
That's what a miracle is. It's an answer for that particular problem.
For every problem, the answer is there. Every problem, the resolution is there. Remember reading that.
Yep.
They're together.
Yep, it's page
595. And then the lessons too. Let me recognize the problem so it can be solved, and let me recognize the problem has been solved.
Yeah. See, miracles only deal with problems. They only deal with illusions. See, because a miracle is a shift in perception of what was a hopeless situation back to light. So you got to have darkness, see, looking at the darkness and have it switch to light. That's a shift in perception that takes away the power the darkness had. You don't deny it. You'll go the other way and just stop looking at it. Right. Brian?
And if you
I've been telling my brothers and sisters who I met at Santa Cruz Residential with that in every problem, there's a blessing in it.
Yeah.
And you have to have a shift in perception to see it.
That's right. Because problems suck.
Yeah.
And if you're only looking at the suck part of the problem,
looking at that part of it,
then of course it's just going to self-fulfill. And what was,
I'll vouch for that,
what was a simple problem becomes a problem that is depressing too, becomes a problem that will never go away, becomes a problem when I talk to my friend over there who says, oh, I had that problem, let me tell you what happened to me. Oh, geez, hope it doesn't happen to you, but here's what happened to me. Oh, God, it gets worse. What? A source of worry now. And down the staircase in the descent you go to hell by only looking at the problem. And because of what you are, well, you are a creator. You're a dreamer. A good one. You can dream up misery. Mm-hmm. And so often we do. We're here, of Course in Miracles, to use the same power that was so dreaming of misery to now dream the other way. It's the same power. It's still a dream. Mm-hmm. It's still a dream. We're going to use the same way with this book that got you in to get you out. It's the most graceful approach. Because you know that which you are living. You know what you do that makes you so uncomfortable. It's those things we're going to have a miracle and forgive and reverse. Did you know that? That Course in Miracles describes itself as, you know, a reversal, mind training. And it's not training you to go 12 degrees this way. How many degrees?
180.
180? Thank you. That's the training. The opposite way. That's how simple it is. Yes?
Door A.
What? Yeah, door A. Yeah, that's right. That's it. Yeah. Inside joke, you weren't here last month.
Well, I'm thinking about Jeff's comment, and I was thinking, and everything that was just said was great, but I'm wondering if you were referring to, like, it's like, where's the rubber band to remind you, you know? Not remind you, but to keep it on the forefront, you know? Like, we all are familiar with the trip down the rabbit hole and everything.
Yes.
So, like, you were, because you said, what's before grace? Like, there's, like, it, to me, his comment was about the practice of it, and that's what I was contemplating too. It's like, it is, I understand, you know, we know what the holy instant is all about. It's the pathways. It's like the
what's the rubber band?
Rubber band.
What is rubber band in Course in Miracles?
Lessons.
And I'm just reading your comment wrong.
No, I mean, the only thing I would add to it would be like, and all I really have is my own personal experience to really draw from with any confidence. So without getting into details, at a certain point, I'm feeling the need to make some big decisions. Mm-hmm. And they're decisions I don't want to make, and they're things I don't really want to do. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's going to be my path forward, and I want to do it with a graceful and a happy heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So I guess I just feel like there's some missing pieces, you know, like when it comes to deciding, you know, is it time for me to leave Santa Cruz?
Mm-hmm.
Is it time for me to do something 180 degrees away from what I've been doing?
Mm-hmm.
Simply because my needs are not getting met doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So to do something differently,
yes,
is going to require kind of a super... I can't even quite see it, you know, mm-hmm, but I can feel it, and I can feel the need to make some major changes, and I want to do it with grace.
Oh.
Satisfaction.
I know this one.
So, I want to say my recent awakening is coming from this place of always questioning what's my purpose here, and why does it feel like there's so much suffering, and why do I have lack, and should I turn left, or should I turn right, or should I go straight, or should I stay, or should I go? And I had this barrage of things going on in my mind all the time, with feeling like I needed to make decisions, what is going to make me happy. And it was coming to that realization that I am fulfilling my purpose by just being right on my path that I'm on right now. And I read something this morning that I believe it said something like, when you're on this path and you come to a crossroads, it doesn't matter which way you go. You always just keep going forward. You can never go back. So whether you turn right or left, it doesn't matter. What the only thing that matters is your intention as you go down the path, that you take God with you every step of the way, and you will always end up where you're supposed to be, and you will always be in your purpose.
You hear the presence.
And that was huge for me. That was such a relief.
Inside reference, not the world being just right, but I'm going to be right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No matter what goes on in the world.
Which sounds great. But I still feel like if I give, I can give radical acceptance. I mean, I can get there.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to fade because I still feel like unmet needs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I really like what you said because I get that.
Yep.
But then I keep falling out of it. I'll get into it, and then I'll fall out.
This is what.
And how you get out of it is you go, God, I do not know what this means.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I feel this. Mm-hmm. I have this unmet need.
Mm-hmm.
I want money, or I want a relationship, or I want a better job. I have this need that I want.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize it. It brings a fear in me.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize this fear. I forgive myself for this fear, and I give this fear to you. And then that's how you,
nice.
You have to recognize it, and don't deny that you have this need, because in our human being, in our egoness. I'm preaching our answers.
No, go!
But I'll tell you where she's going is the power that you access for the grace she's talking about doesn't come from a geographic or a geologic or a relationship.
Something outside of
us. What's Miracle Principle 7? Miracles. Well, I like you guys to read. Miracle Principle 7? Miracle Principle 7 on page 3. Miracles are everyone's right. Miracles are everyone's right. Doesn't that sound good?
Purification.
But there's a word but there. Jeff's like, hey, man, I got it. And Kim is like, yeah, I, this is miracles. Good things can happen and do happen.
Purification is necessary.
But purification is necessary first. I think that's what Jeff is running into. He's like, the faith in this guy, the power. and it is the energy, and Kim, oh my God, right? And then crash. Then she climbs back up, remembering, well, I know there's a better way. I bow.
Damn it.
Damn it.
I'm a fixer. I want to fix things.
Yeah.
I
want to now.
Fix it all.
I want it now.
Fix it now. Change everything.
Yeah, just tell me. Just tell me the right phrase to read so I can be happy. What page? What, anybody?
It's not about the right phrase. It's about the forgiveness of having that angst in the first place.
Wow. So now go back to the skier on the mountain or the person running through the guitar song. No angst. Having the surrender present. Surrender is a beautiful word. State of grace. References beyond. It's so present without concern and yet so already blending into the next moment, whatever it might be.
Isn't there a line in one of the lessons about I must first be still?
Yes.
And do nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some context.
Many, actually. Many, 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 many.
It's not at the stoplight.
Yeah. No, it's a good place. Yeah. 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 Turn to workbook.
Well, you know,
page 323.
A comment that we never got to.
Brian.
Oh, Brian. Okay,
yeah, one of the things that helped me was acceptance of things as they are, but. And then I still was dealing with something like he's dealing with. And then I came to another word, contentment.
Mm-hmm.
Being content with what it is.
Yeah.
Or what I
sounds
have.
Sounds
great.
You
yeah.
know.
Can't
do
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
now.
Once you get to that point of contentment, and then you'll come into another.
Because contentment is peace.
Yeah.
It's peaceful.
Yes.
It's the release.
Even though it's not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
There's a release from trying to get something that's not here right now, and that affords an open mind.
It's that, also, for me, it's like recognizing that I really don't know what it is I need.
Yeah.
I think I know what it is
I
need.
Uh-huh.
I have just like gone through this huge experience where I think I know what I need,
mm-hmm.
but nothing's working out the way that I need to go for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I recognize that my thinking is what got me here.
Mm-hmm.
Like we say so many times, mm-hmm. my thinking got me here and it ain't going to get me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
say the rest.
So I need to, I just got my brain blank.
So what I need to is to access
a guide.
A God.
The Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is my guide.
I don't know what it is I need. And
yes.
And let it
be. And release this whole thing of planning and having to decide you have to go here and there and all those decisions, those choices.
Mm-hmm.
Just release that whole thing and just live moment to moment in the present and asking Holy Spirit.
And allow the Holy Spirit.
And no trying. And,
I'm still having the feelings. I mean, I still have feelings like,
of course,
it's really a sense of loss. Okay, now I'm going to give up this thing that I think I really need and want because it's definitely not happening. But I go back to the all good happens in God's time, not mine. And so I can say any kind of thing that's going to kind of get me out of the pity. But I still have to go through the pain and the suffering, like we were talking earlier. Kind of that there's something in that suffering that I don't know how you said it the other day.
What I got was that it was the willingness to name the suffering, to recognize it, not the doing of it.
Right.
You know, the idea is to look behind that, not.
And not to think I know.
I'll be glad when I've suffered enough with this one because I'm getting kind of tired of it. You know? interrupted you, but it's not the plan. It's the attachment.
It's not the
plan. You know, the plan is kind of could just be the linking of turns.
Right.
What were you saying?
It's like
the
thinking it.
There's the need and there's the want.
The need and the want, and it's even if even things I think I need.
Right.
I get attached to the things I think I need, but that's not...
It's not the need, it's my ego for me.
Exactly.
It's my ego saying, well, it looks like this.
That, exactly.
Yeah, you know, that's the need, and it looks like, you know...
Yes, which just leads you to more of the same thinking that got you into this bind of unreachable. So now turn to workbook page 323, and let's just read that lesson, the whole lesson.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Kim, though. That was really helpful.
Yeah.
Sorry, I
got that.
So you're welcome.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. Roger that. So all right, Big David, rock it.
Number one. Okay, lesson 169. By grace I live, by grace I am released. Grace is an aspect of the love of God, which is most like the state of prevailing and the unity of truth. It is the world's most lofty aspiration, for it leads beyond the worldly entirely. The world entirely. It is past learning, yet the goal of learning, for grace cannot come until the mind prepares itself for true acceptance. Grace becomes inevitable instantly in those who have prepared a table where it can be gently laid and willingly received, an altar clean and holy for the gift.
Do you hear the big butt coming, the big challenge coming that Jeff's going to have to go through?
Just Jeff.
He set himself up. He's the one who's going for it. So yeah, he's one admitting it.
I was going to say earlier, I know on 2 days I'm going to want something I shouldn't want. I get it. Mm-hmm. I totally get it.
Yeah, but also in order to... It's not what he wants. The things that he's got planned out are probably all great ideas, but I don't know my own best interest.
Right.
Exactly. And I'm also very clear on my distinction between wants and needs.
Yeah.
Nice.
I get wants.
Nice.
I can usually get what I want, whatever I want, most of the time.
Capable, right?
But it's the needs that are not the
fulfilling.
Easiest to fulfill.
How about being fulfilled?
Yeah.
What's the difference? See? What's the difference? We'll do this to meditate one night. We'll do a meditation on fulfillment. We did this years ago. It's so different. Turns out fulfillment is such a personal thing. Mm-hmm. Turns out it's such a simple thing after all. But not for tonight. Okay. So, No soup for you. Okay, Jeff.
Two.
Yeah.
Grace is acceptance by the love of God within a world of seeming hate and fear. By grace alone, the hate and fear are gone, for grace presents a state so opposite to everything the world contains that those whose minds are lighted by the gift of grace cannot believe the world of fear is real.
Can you say vision? Yes. Course in Miracles vision. Let's continue. Pam?
Grace is not learned.
Not learned.
The final step must go beyond all learning. Grace is not the goal this course aspires to attain. Yet we prepare for grace and then an open mind can hear the call to awaken. It is not shut tight against God's voice. It has become aware that these are things it does not know, and thus is ready to accept a state completely different from experience with which it is familiar. It is familiarly evident.
Yeah, Pam, marijuana is not for everyone. A little bit. David.
We have perhaps appeared to contradict our statement that the revelation of the Father and the Son as one has been already set. But we have also said the mind determines when that time will be and has determined it.
Mm-hmm. And yet this is a reference to 10 lessons ago when it talks about the script is written, the time is set. It's so bold, it's so shake your world. Please continue.
And yet we urge you to bear witness to the Word of God, to hasten the experience of truth,
and speed its advent into every mind that recognizes truth's effects on you.
Well, read that last sentence again, please.
And yet we urge you to bear witness to the Word of God, to hasten the experience of truth, and speed its advent into every mind that recognizes truth's effects on you.
Yeah, those are witnesses to your peace. Those are witnesses to your awakening. These are your students, and you their teacher. When you look for the light in the dark situation and see it and know that it's there, you're communicating this faith. Yeah. Let's continue.
Oneness is simply the idea God is.
Period. Mm-hmm. I mean, there it is. Mm-hmm. If you just want to know, if you want to have a great meditation and supply yourself with a definition of both God and oneness, there it is. Good. Please continue.
And in his being, he encompasses all things. No mind holds anything but him. We say God is, and then we cease to speak. For in that knowledge, words are meaningless. There are no lips to speak them, and no part of mind sufficiently distinct to feel that it is now aware of something not itself. Whew. It has united with its source, and like its source itself, it merely is.
This is describing a holy instant in a spiritual awakening. There are no lips to speak them, and no part of mind, lower M, right? Low part of mind, sufficiently distinct to feel that it is now aware of something not itself. Elsewhere the Course talks about, it says, don't you feel like you're kind of an alien here? That some part of you doesn't really belong here? That you've been sort of on some kind of a ride that's meaningless? The Course talks about that. Offering you a chance to go ahead and open your mind and get out of your body for a moment. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Please continue. I tell you, this workbook is a different level of teaching. Eventually we'll get there. Are we on page 400? I mean, that's pretty good. Two-thirds of the way through the text, but eventually the workbook, that's rocking, mind-blowing, this workbook. Anybody who hasn't done it, start. Okay, please continue.
I have to live to be 125. Just saying.
Yeah, I know I could be. Yes. We can dream.
We cannot speak, nor write, nor even think of this at all. It comes to every mind when total recognition that its will is God's has been completely given and received completely.
Right, and didn't somebody say that? I think Brian said that. Maybe somebody said that. It says, not my will, but thy will be done. Mm-hmm. There's a huge sense of eternal reset when those words are spoken with gladness and not deprivation. I mean, oh my God, there's a whole spiritual awakening inside of that one phrase. Yeah, please continue.
It returns the mind into the endless present, where the past and future cannot be conceived. It lies beyond salvation, past all thought of time, forgiveness, and the holy face of Christ. The Son of God has merely disappeared into his Father, as his Father has in him. The world has never been at all. Eternity remains a constant state.
Go for it, Boy Scout.
Okay. This is beyond the experience we try to hasten. Yet forgiveness taught and learned brings with it the experiences which bear witness that the time the mind itself determines to bend all but this is now at hand. We do not hasten it, and that what you will offer was concealed from him who teaches what forgiveness means. We do not.
Wow. Yeah, we're not going on this rabbit hole right now. Isn't that beautiful? We'll come back someday. Okay, next.
I pass.
Okay, Carol.
All learning was already in his mind accomplished and complete. He recognized all that time holds and gave it to all minds that each one might determine from a point where time was ended and it is released to revelation and eternity. We have repeated several times before that you but make a journey that is done.
You make a journey that is done. Mm. The script is written, you see. When you step out of the particular game that you're playing chess, okay, and you're right embroiled in the moves and everything, and if you just let your mind drift up a bit into somebody walking by who knows chess really well, they'll say, oh yeah, oh yeah, it's chess. I know how this ended. I know how it started. And I know how it's going to end, too. You, on the other hand, are, oh my God, I took my queen. I didn't even see it. There's this diagonal. And, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Now I'm going to lose for sure. Well, maybe not. Isn't it life? And yet the script is written. Chess, the pieces move a certain way. Not that particular game, but the whole game.
Yeah.
The whole game is written. Perfectly. So it makes it a great game. This is a great game. And it's completely written the same way chess is written.
And we're thinking that so much is happening, but nothing's really happening.
Nothing's really happening. No matter what happens in that game that Rick is playing last night in chess, how dramatic Jeff pushed his rook all the way to the eighth rank and said, ha! Take that, he says. Even though that happened dramatically and all. The game of chess, all right, if you step back a bit, was not changed one iota. Uh-huh. The game of chess not affected at all. So it is with things that are complete. As this book says, the dream that you're having is actually complete. You can't see it. Because you're in the middle of it again in that way. But it is, from this author's perspective, complete. Nothing's going to happen to what matters. Yeah. Nothing's going to happen. You can play it again and again and again, and nothing will happen to chess. You feel that? Let's continue.
For oneness must be there, be here. Whatever time the mind has set for revelation is entirely irrelevant to what must be a constant state. Forever as it always was, forever to remain as it is now. We merely take the part assigned long since and fully recognize as perfectly fulfilled by him who wrote salvation's script in his Creator's name and in the name of his Creator's Son.
There is no need to further clarify what no one in the world
there it is. There it is. I love it.
Can understand.
Read it again. He's like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with this fanciful metaphysical discussion. Go ahead.
There is no need to further clarify what no one in the world can understand. When revelation of your oneness comes, it will be known and fully understood. Now we have work to do where those in time can speak of things beyond and listen to words which explain what is to come is past already. Yet what meaning can the words convey to those who count the hours still and rise and work and go to sleep by them?
Right?
That's
right?
So powerful. Yeah.
Is this your teacher? Is this who you're listening to?
Yes.
How graceful is it? Kind, even? To say, look, this is going to be tough for you, you know, the way you live with the hours and the life and death and the whole body thing. Going to be tough. So we're going to get back to basics now, okay? Because you cannot get it with your your particular addiction right now, you're in a little too deep. But I'll give you something to chew on if you like. And there it is, paragraph 89. And then he calls you back to the curriculum when he says, well, then I need to further discuss something that no one in this world can understand. You see, you are disqualified for now because of your focus on a body and space and time. It'll always be just one more decision away from right. Always. And the more creative you are, more true that can be. Mm-hmm. You have more of an ability to dream about a better way. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it is just a little further. Mm-hmm. Now, with your awakening, that energy is recognized for what it is. The creative impulse, the miracle impulse, the little circle occurs back, and you get present like Kim was talking about. Now, no matter what occurs, you've got what it takes to enjoy it.
Because you know the truth, and you respect the illusion of what everything is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's continue.
Suffice it then that you have work to do to play your part. The ending must remain obscure to you until your part is done. It does not matter, for your part is still what all the rest depends on. As you take the role assigned to you, salvation comes a little nearer each uncertain heart that does not beat as yet in tune with God.
Oh, please read that again.
That's kind of good.
That's so sweet. Yeah, it's kind of good. Finally, we found a good paragraph.
Suffice it then that you have work to do to play your part. The ending must remain obscure to you until your part is done.
Must.
Wow.
It does not matter, for your part is still what all the rest depends on. As you take the role assigned to you, salvation comes a little nearer each uncertain heart that does not be as yet in tune with God. That just really
feels good. Yeah.
You have a part in God's plan for perfect happiness. And the whole thing.
Feeling makes happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes happy. And you play your part in order to see how happy it is. Not from halfway through the game, who not the hell in the middle of the game, it's so chaotic. But your part is written for you. You don't know it yet, it's written by you. So personal in a way that only you would even benefit from where it's going. You have no idea how this is going to
work. Even when the part is not always happy, it's still the part that we have to play.
Yes.
And as long as our best intention is to stay on this path, we are always doing the right thing.
It would take some trust to do that.
And the teachers, we may see them differently. They don't necessarily see anything different about us. Yeah. But we know we're different.
That's the light that we see in them, right, Angela?
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yes, the light in the darkness. Yes, we see it.
Can you explain sentence two, though, please?
Yes.
Sentence two, can you explain it?
Which paragraph?
11.
11.
It doesn't matter.
The ending must remain obscure until you, right? Obscure to you until your part is done. Yes, of course.
You may not know what it's all about until you're through it.
I wrote the word trust next to that sentence.
Yeah.
Yep. It's going to call for trust. It's going to call for trust so that you can receive the benefit of your part. You see, without you completing your part,
it's incomplete.
It's incomplete. Mm-hmm. It's not to be seen, and it's seen by you completing it. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, it is for you. It is by you. And it is of you.
Written.
Whoa.
We're exactly where we're supposed to be on this place in this journey right now.
The truth and the way
and
the life.
And this talks to that we are fulfilling our purpose just by being right here, right now.
Yes.
In whatever part we're playing on this path we're on.
Yes. And the sooner that is recognized, the sooner you can start to play and to actually fulfill that which optimizes you and not any other fantasy of what might make you happy.
Mm. Especially external things like thinking if we move somewhere else,
thinking
that out there
is
going to change our situation.
Our relationship or
anything out there.
Or somebody else has to say something. Yeah.
I mean, I definitely know, like, as soon as you're there becomes a here, there's just another there. Like, I get it. But then, like, you just, like, get a point of frustration when you're like,
yes.
Well, here's my personal life pattern. I'll go about 10 years in a spot, and I'll be like, and I just throw the cards up in the air. And I'll let them land.
And it's very exciting for
my MO.
Yeah, very exciting.
And that's got me back to where you started over and over.
Try
something different this time.
Okay, eyes are open.
For a little while.
Eyes are open. Yeah.
A little while.
But don't we all do that, though?
Yeah.
I mean, don't we all, you know, go along and then at some point have to move up a ladder and a step on the ladder, and sometimes moving up a step on the ladder is really hard.
Yeah.
And you do go...
Yes.
The difference is... I don't know what any of this means.
The difference is, you may make the exact same visible change that you made all the way between Las Vegas and Los Angeles and then Bakersfield and then Santa Cruz. You may make the same change. But after Course in Miracles, you make that change with a whole different experience.
Yes.
It's made out of peace. It's no lot made out of fear. It's not made out of doubt. It's made out of this fulfillment. It looks the same to everybody else, but it's so different the way you make that change.
You don't have to move. You can just travel there and come back home.
You can go try it first and say, hotly, no.
No.
All right. I think Bakersfield would work.
Cabins here in Santa Cruz?
San Bernardino.
All right, next paragraph. Let's try to finish up before we go.
Okay.
It's so amazing, isn't it?
Forgiveness is the central theme that runs throughout salvation, holding all its parts in meaningful relationships. The course it runs directed and its outcome sure. And now we ask for grace, the final gift salvation can bestow. Experience that grace provides will end in time, for grace foreshadows heaven, yet does not replace the thought of time, but for a little while.
Yeah. See, that interval suffices. It's here that miracles are laid to be returned by you from holy instance you receive through grace in your experience to all who see the light that lingers in your face.
Mm.
What is the face of Christ? But his who went a moment into timelessness and brought a clear reflection of the unity he felt an instant back to bless the world. How could you finally attain to it forever while a part of you remains outside, unknowing, unawakened, and in need of you as witness to the truth? Any Buddhists in here? Anybody spent some time studying Buddhism?
Yes, I have Zen.
You heard of the Bodhisattva vow?
Yes.
This is the Bodhisattva vow, folks. The truth of it is your love. Your love will reach a peak of awareness that you couldn't possibly lead, even though there's an unending number of suffering, ignorant life forms. I shall save them all before I take my personal freedom. This Bodhisattva vow. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's continue. Oh, is that me?
No.
Okay. Wait, where, was I just reading?
You just read.
Okay, great. Right, so now speak, David.
Be grateful to return as you are glad to go an instant and accept the gifts that grace provided you. You carry them back to yourself, and revelation stands not far behind. Its coming is ensured. We ask for grace and for experience that comes from grace. We welcome the release it offers everyone. We do not ask for the unaskable. We do not look beyond what grace can give. For this we will give in grace that has been given us.
Our learning goal today does not extend. Our learning goal today does not exceed this prayer. Yet in the world, what could be more than what we ask this day from Him? He gives the grace we ask, and it was given Him, as it was given Him. By grace I live, by grace I am released. By grace I give, by grace I will release.
Beautiful. Little tease there. A tease to take this word that defies definition and live it. But how you say? Well, the book isn't over yet. Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath, dudes. That was brought to you by grace. I mean, you just pulled it off. It didn't take much. Your little willingness, your little surrender occur. You heard a suggestion. You said, I'm going for it. It was brought to you by grace. So easy is that breath because you know how to do it. You kind of optimize it for how much air you could take in. You didn't hold it too long. You let it out. It was all good. Graceful it was, really. There's so much grace automatically occurring all the freaking time. Take a moment to notice it, and wow, it's kind of beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's empowering even the ugliness that you might be so busy looking at. Just look for the grace in that too. It's like, whoa! And you just see right through the ugliness of the ego when you look for the grace. That's right there. Christ's vision will afford this more and more. We're here learning how to do that, how to make that our default perspective. Mm. By grace, you live. If you're wondering what grace is, there's a great meditation. By grace, you live. Oh. And perhaps the best experience you can have in your body, the best experience you can have in your body, is when you want to give. You just want to. You want to share. You want to. That is about as good as it gets. Mm. By grace, you give. Mm. Mm. Oh, that's another huge clue on this transition. And then were you ever somehow felt that you were deprived, that you were somehow unhappy with what is, with what up? This forgiveness thing, this miracle is called for, right? We're learning how to pull in the miracle, the shift in perception, to make it all see the light in the darkness. And then forgiveness that's released in the holy instance not far behind. Okay, this is what we learned. You go, ah. And your shoulders relax and your face goes easy and you go, you know what? Things are okay. Got it good. That's release. It's by grace that you are released. You're fully empowered to release. You're only one thought away. Grace. It's good. Good choice. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm glad you were here. I do that all the time. It's on the website. I play it on my phone. I don't want to.